The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Mark Twain is quoted as having said, "A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still lacing up her boots." And you know, brethren, it's natural to lie. In fact, there is something about our human nature that is as if that we enjoy hearing lies, and it seems as if we enjoy telling lies. I mean, after all, we like, as a people, reading tabloids or hearing gossip. You see, brethren, lying is easy, and it is sometimes the truth that is hard. With that in mind, I have some questions for us to consider. Are we known as a truly honest person? Do people have to question us and wonder about our generosity or our genuineness? Do we have a reputation as being a liar? Or do people know what we say is true? Is our word as good as our signature? Do we tell the truth even when it may cost us something? One of the points that God answers a question over in the book of Psalm 15, it says, "Who will be in your holy hill?" In other words, who's going to be in your kingdom? And one of those points, it says that he who is going to keep his word, he's going to do what he says he's going to do, even if it's to his own hurt. It's one of the characteristics of a person being in the kingdom of God. We as a people, we make statements along the line of that honesty pays off. But you know, when you think about it, sometimes honesty costs. Doing the right thing is where the reward really is. Don't know if you thought about it like this, but there are some people, maybe even true believers, and you might need to ask yourself this, but there are some who do not look at this topic of lying as being as serious as it really is. I do realize that this type of sermon, this type of topic that we're going to cover today is going to open us up for criticism. I understand that, you know, because I also understand that, after all, telling a lie is something that we all find ourselves from time to time being guilty of. Do we want to do it? Of course not. Do we do it? Yeah, and we hate to admit that we do. In fact, the person who says, "I've never told a lie," you know what he just did? He just told another one. Because it is something that, as I said, is so easy to do when we find ourselves in situations. So I'm giving this topic today on lying, the sermon today on lying, because it is not for us to look at or to point our fingers at others, but I would like for us to use it and take a look at self. There's a story that I read about the store manager who overheard one of his sales clerk in the store was talking to this woman and says, "No, madam, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like we're going to be getting any anytime soon." And so the manager is really horrified by that, and so he runs over to the clerk, and he says, "Oh, no, that's not exactly true. We placed an order last week, and it should be in at any time." And then he grabs the clerk and he takes him over to the side. "Never, never, 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 never tell a customer that we don't have it. Tell them it's on back order and it's going to be in soon." Now, by the way, what was she talking about? And he said, "Rain." But you see how easy it is to lie. The store manager wanted to protect himself and wanted to say something obviously was unfounded. And he was made out to be just what it happened to be, a lie. You see, all too often, spouses lie one to another, and they say, "Well, after all, we're just trying to preserve the peace in our marriage." Parents lie to their children, and children also lie to their parents. Have you ever heard of Santa Claus? I think we understand. You know, it's something that we do. But parents do tend to do that. They do tend to tell their children things that are untrue. And then they say, well, I'm protecting them. Employers and employees do the same thing. Advertisers lie to sell products. Politicians lie, maybe because they're politicians. But politicians, it seems as if they lie in order to spin things to look like it from their direction. When you boil it all down, it's untruth or it's lies. Today I want to call, like they say, call the spade the spade. If it is a lie, call it a lie. Brother, we need to examine this topic to see how we look at it. And maybe more importantly, and especially, we need to look at this topic and to see how God looks at the topic of lying. First of all, it's good for us to remember that God included this topic as one of the Ten Commandments. Therefore, I think that we can obviously conclude that God considers lying as a sin because he says, don't do it. Because he's implied the doing it is sin. And we understand that. 1 John 3:4. He that breaks the law, you know, he who transgresses the law, sin is transgression of the law. And he's talking about even the Ten Commandments. Therefore, see as a result that he's included it as one of the Ten Commandments, that he considers it as a sin that is very seriously something that we need to know about and to avoid. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. Exodus 20 verse 16, it says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It can be stated in other ways. This is the way it's stated and we understand it. And for generations we've had it this way. And so we understand this is one of the commandments. It simply could have been stated, keep your word and don't tell a lie. It's the same thing. Go with me now to the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 8, and we'll see a couple of verses here in the book of Revelation to see just how serious a topic this really is. Revelation 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, keeping some pretty bad company, isn't it? And all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Very serious topic. The next one I wanted you to look at here in Revelation is in Revelation 22 and verse 15. Revelation 22, verse 15. For without are dogs, and it doesn't mean puppy dogs, meaning sexually immoral people is really what is referring to, and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and makes a lie. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about the topic of lying. The book of Proverbs chapter 6 lists lying as one of the seven things that God says he hates. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6 and verse 16. These 16 does the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. So I would think that we would all agree that anything that is listed of these 7 things, this would be something we would want to stay away from. If it's something we're doing and we shouldn't, we want to stop it. If it's something we're not doing and we need to, then we need to start. Now all of these are things that are people that we might do and we shouldn't be. But let's read them. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. Did you understand in this listing of these 7 things, lying is listed twice? Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Proverbs 12 and 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truthfully are his delight. In the King James, it says, but they that deal truly are his delight. It's probably better translated, truthfully are his delight. He makes a comparison. One's an abomination to telling a lie. To tell things that are not true is an abomination before God. And to tell the truth, that's his delight. There, he makes a comparison here. Now, where did lying come from? Where did it originate? Well, Jesus in John chapter 8 tells us the origin of lying. Let's go to John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil. He's talking to some Pharisees here. And he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because, he said, the reason he abode not in the truth was because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus is very, very plain, outspoken, telling us exactly where lying comes from. And so the point is, something I think that we need to realize here is that when we lie, we're a lot like Satan. Now, am I making these statements today so that's going to hit us? Yeah. Am I talking to me as well? Yes. Am I talking to all of us? I certainly hope so. Did you know that almost every time that the devil is mentioned in Scripture, he is lying? Which is an interesting thing. I think it's recorded to show his characteristic and to show where it comes from. The first time that we see him in the Bible, he lies about God to man. I want us to see some things about this, about his lying about God to mankind. We see that back in the garden in Genesis. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to make some points because we know the story. But the first one is he lies about the truthfulness of God. When he asked them the question, has God said? He didn't say, I know that God said it, but it's not what he said. He said, has God said this? Did he really say this? You see, what he's doing here is that he is challenging or he is questioning God's word, and that is a very serious matter. It would be like ice skating on very thin ice, and I don't think you want to do that. However, today we also should probably understand there are many people who do question God's word, and they question God's word as being, is this really true? Is this right or wrong? And they do this a lot. Because here's the point. We are not to stand in judgment whether it makes sense or not. Now, that may hit you in a strange way, but I think that I can explain what I mean by that statement. Because we are not to be challenging God's word. Now, here's why I'm saying it. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to God. God knows. Just because we read the scripture and it doesn't make sense to us does not make that it is wrong. It just means that he hasn't revealed it and we don't understand it. So what we need to understand are we are the ones who do not know, not God. Therefore, the word of God is to stand in judgment of us, not the other way around. Another point that we see back in Genesis where Satan lied about God to man was about the righteousness of God or the truthfulness of God. He said, you shall not surely die. See, what he just did was he said that God will not judge you if you sin. He was saying God lied. Another point was about the goodness of God. He said to man something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, and that is, God is trying to keep back from you good things. When he said, don't you know that if you eat, you're going to be like God? God's holding things back. Is he lying about God to men? Absolutely. The whole scenario is that. And it's a real interesting thing for us to see it. The next time that Satan appears in the Bible, when he's actually named, I'm talking about, is in the book of Job. This time he's in God's throne room. God has called all the angelic beings, and it said, and the devil came among them. And this time we find Satan is lying about man to God. The first time he was lying about God to man, this time he's lying about man to God. He's misrepresenting what is really the truth. He tells God about Job. He says, the only reason Job obeys you is because you're good to him. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but isn't that what he said? You have put a hedge about him. The only reason you're doing this is because he's put this hedge about him. What a lie. What a lie. When you really understand the story of Job, God calls him righteous. You know, and so God looked at him, and so we understand here, and to Adam and Eve, the devil was saying that God isn't good enough. And here in the book of Job, he is saying that God is too good. It's a way of looking at it. It's a way of looking at this. We see Satan again at the crucifixion. This time, he lies to man, knowing that man will then lie about Jesus. We know the story. He puts it in the heart of some of them to offer up a false witness. In other words, to lie. Now, when it got down to it, they said, we didn't really need it because even wonder why Jesus did it and he didn't allow the false witnesses to come out. Was it to protect these people? I don't know. But I've wondered that. I've read that story several times, many, many times over the years, and I've asked that same question. He could have allowed them to bring the false witness, you know, the false people in and to prove them wrong, but he didn't. So we see in Genesis, he used a lie to corrupt the first man. Then in the book of Job, he used a lie to criticize what could be considered as a righteous man. He only did this because. Then in the New Testament, at the time of the crucifixion, he used a lie to crucify the Savior of mankind. In the book of Revelation, I'm not going there. We're just trying to build some points before we get into what kind of things do we as humans lie about, or what are different types of lies, and then we're going to conclude it by looking at how do you overcome lying, which is the part we all want to get to, right? But in the book of Revelation, he embodies the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to kind of summarize that whole story of the Antichrist by making the statement in dealing with lying, because here's what it is. The Antichrist tells such a big enough lie, and it is so believable that it brings about the end of the world. Now, it's planned from the beginning with God, and he understood it, and so it's nothing happening that God wasn't aware of, but isn't that a summation, a very simplified summation of the end of the world? The Antichrist comes along, you know, with the beast and the false prophet, those together, and they tell a big enough lie, people believe it, and it causes the end of the world. So from the beginning to the end, what we see is Satan is, as Jesus said, he is a liar and the father of it. And so when we lie, we are aligning ourselves with everything that brings about the things that Satan stands for. Death, destruction, doom, and damnation to the world. And it can have a very negative effect on every one of us. We could wind up in any of those categories as a result of it. Brethren, a warning to all of us, and that is don't take lying lightly. There is no such thing as a little white lie. The truth is the truth, and any misstatement or representation of the truth is a lie. God is truth. His word is truth, and everything less than truth is wrong. It is sin. We also need to understand that lying takes on many different shapes and forms or many different faces. So I'd like for us to take a look at some of the ways that some people lie without ever even thinking about it, or types of lies that we may find ourselves in and not even realize that we've done it until after the fact. The first one, and there's not any right order, I'm just going to list them out as we go through, but the first one I'm going to take a look at is slander. We could slander and not even really know it if we are serious about looking at ourselves, then we're going to know it, but I think it could happen and we not really know it. Let's go to the book of Psalm 101, Psalm 101 and verse 5, and I'm going to read just the first part of this verse. Psalm 101 and verse 5, it says, "Whoso privately slanders his neighbor, him will I cut off." And so what we're seeing is this type of lying is the intention of doing harm to another's reputation. We may do this without necessarily, it is the intent, that is what we're intending to do, but we could be deceived and not even realizing this is what we're doing. This is how deceptive all lying is, that it could be something that affects us in a way that we don't even realize that it is really wrong. You see, some sins are obviously worse than others in terms of the damage done. And I think we understand that. For example, if someone stole an item from you, they could return the item. I mean, it's still sin, and they still got to repent of it, but it's not as damaging as if they spread lies about you. They stated words about you that are absolutely untrue. They may not be able to ever undo the far-reaching effects, the damage that has been caused to you. There's a story that I've read this in a couple of different references, and I think it's a real good thing, reading different things from pastors. This is when it comes from a church pastor, and he says, there was this man who spread lies about his pastor. Over time, the man came to realize that what he said wasn't correct, and so he was convicted that what he did was wrong. He repented of it, and he goes to the pastor, and he says, how can I ever make it right? Now, the story goes of what the pastor did. I don't know if this is a true story, but like I said, I've read this in a couple of different things. And he said, the pastor told the man to go and get some feather pillows and rip them apart and take a feather and take one feather and put it on the front porch of every house in their neighborhood. The man said, well, I think this is kind of strange, but I did do the wrong, and so I'll go do it. And he does, and he comes back. He said, I've done it. And the pastor says, well, you're not finished yet. Now I want you to go back, and I want you to collect all the feathers. What do you think the man would say? I can't do that. The wind has blown them everywhere, and I don't know where they are. Do you get the point? The pastor said, that's exactly what you did when you spread lies and damaged my reputation. And that's what we do. That's what we do. It's exactly what it is. Can we ever get it back? Probably not. Probably not. Not on this side of the resurrection. And so we need to be very, very cautious in when we say things about another person. Because you see, when we slander someone's reputation, what we're doing is an irreversible damage. And we will answer to God for it. A second kind of lie that people do sometimes without ever thinking about it is talebearing. Now, this is a person who likes to tell things. They like to share the news. Oh, have you heard the news? Have you heard the latest? I'm calling that person the talebearer. Here's the point about it. And this type of person, when they want to tell everything and they want to share the news, they don't care if they get their facts correct or not all too often. They're repeating what they've heard because they heard it and they want to pass it on. It may not be correct. This is gossip. This is rumors. And I'm using both those terms because different translations will use either one or the other of those words. And it's very, very clear in Scripture, we are told, don't spread it and stop others from doing it. Don't repeat gossip. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 13. For without they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And you know, we read this verse and sometimes we say, aha, yeah, they're talking about things that shouldn't be talked about because, you know, they're saying things that are not right. That's not what the verse says. There could be things that are true that shouldn't be repeated. Love covers a multitude of sin. A person could do actually something wrong. And so this is the type of person, he could say, well, I'm only saying things that are true. I verified and I know it's true. Should it have been said? Maybe not. And the person who repeats those kinds of things is a talebearer. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. You shall not go up and down as a talebearer among your people. And you read the whole context, it is not necessarily meaning that what is being stated is wrong. It could be something that's right, that's correct, that what you're saying is correct. But we don't repeat it. So here's another, I will say, a warning to all of us. If we find ourselves listening to someone gossiping, we need to remember this fact. And that is, anyone who will gossip to you will gossip about you. If there is a problem with another person, somebody has done something that they should not have done, does the Bible talk about how we're to handle that? Oh, absolutely. It says you go directly to that source, to the person who did whatever it was. If you have a problem with someone, go to him or to her, and only to him or to her. At least that's the first thing that we're to do. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. A third point, way of lying that people do sometimes at not even realizing it, it is lying by insinuation or an allusion to. There are so many different illustrations that we could use here. It's something that we don't actually say, but we suggest it. We allude to something. For example, if I told you, today is a good Sabbath, and the reason is because Bill is sober today. Now, what have I just suggested? It may be true that Bill is sober, but what have I insinuated? That there are times when he isn't. That is lying by insinuation or an allusion to, and I think you can come up with all kinds of things about that. Shouldn't be done. A fourth one is flattery or insincere praise. It's like saying something to someone's face that you would never say behind their back. Now, you got to think about that, but I think that's a real good statement, so we're looking at it. Salespeople are people who I think who practice this kind of thing off an awful lot. So do kids. Children learn this technique very, very early because they learn how to compliment a parent when this child wants something. Where do they learn this? It's part of our human nature. It's part of the satanic nature that is there, and we pick it up. Kids, oh, they learn these things at school. I'm talking about kids can do these kinds of things before they're ever around a lot of other kids. And it's lying. It is flattery. It is insincere praise. They may even be stating things that are true. But when we state it with an intention to get something out of it, it is considered as lying. Mommy, you are so beautiful. Well, Mommy probably is beautiful. Can I have another piece of candy? I mean, that's the kind of things that they do. It's so obvious this is what they're doing. And we as parents, you know, oh, they're so cute. No, they're not. They are cute. They're beautiful little kids. But they're lying. And we need to teach them that that's not the way to do it. If you want a piece of candy, ask for it. Yes, but you'll tell me no. I'm going to tell you no if you lie to me, too. If you say I'm beautiful, therefore have a piece of candy. And you know that this is what people do. You understand it, and we've seen it. And so we know exactly what I'm talking about. Go with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 55 and verse 21. Psalm 55 and verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So we need to realize, we need to think about this. When someone starts buttering us up, we need to remember they're probably about to have us for lunch. They're going to do something with their intentions that are not right. Number five, ways that people tend to lie and maybe not even thinking about it. And this was the one that I've called, simply named it as half-truths. Or putting it another way, not telling the whole story. An illustration of it could be a parent asks their teenage child and he says, where are you going to go? And he says, well, we're going to go over to Andy's house. Well, that's great. That's great. And they may do that. But what the child doesn't say is where they're going to go from there. And they know they're going to do something else, but they don't tell you all of it. That's lying. That is half-truth, and what we need to understand is we are breaking the spirit of the law when we do this. Have you ever thought about, if you've ever been in court or seen court TVs or various things, when they ask you to either swear and or affirm that you will tell the truth and the whole truth? Because they don't want just the truth. They want the whole truth. That's what they're asking for. It is a technicality, is what they're doing, but they understand the human nature. Do they really know that you're going to tell the truth and the whole truth? They know you're going to lie out of your teeth, but they still take, you know, they cover themselves. Well, they swore men, they said that they swear, they affirmed that they're going to tell the truth and the whole truth. If they lied, we didn't know they were going to lie. I mean, you know, let's think about it. Let's be very open about it. The point being is half the truth is equal to what? A whole lie. The next one, number six, exaggeration. The word means to represent as greater than is actually the case. It is to overstate. This is perhaps, for most of us in the Church of God, the greatest one that we would get involved in. It's the greatest weakness. The point being is, it's also a lie. Exaggerations are things such as that we find in the Church of God. We are the only true Church of God. You ever heard that by any group? I have. Is it true? I don't think so. Is it an exaggeration? It's an exaggeration. Or how about we are the main part of the Church of God? How do we know that this little widow over here that's doing what she is doing is not doing more than some major, you know, corporation that is doing? And the answer is, I don't know. But for us to make these kind of statements, it's at least an exaggeration, and it is probably a lie. And it is probably something that we don't think about as really being a mistruth. We don't know some things, and we make the statements as if we know it's true. That's an exaggeration at best, but it's still at best, it's an exaggeration, and it's still a lie. A seventh one is excuses. Excuses are simply no more than dressed-up lies, when you really think about it. Exodus chapter 4, I want to show you a couple of illustrations of people in the Bible who did some of these things and how they used excuses. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since you have spoken unto your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, maybe he was. Maybe that part is true. And then he says, and the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? God is saying, what does this got to do with me? I'm telling you, I want you to go do this, and so go do it. Or who has made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said unto him, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send. What he said is, in a very better translation, is send someone else. That's excuses. You see, here's the point. He said, I can't do it because I've got this particular issue. Maybe he had this particular issue. And God said, what has this got to do with me? I'm telling you to go. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do it. And he still said, I don't want to go do something else. That was a lie. That's the point. It is lying. Exodus chapter 32 and verse 22. Exodus 32, 22. And this one, you know right off what this one is. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know the people, that they are set on mischief. And the word there is probably better, evil. They are set to do evil. Verse 23. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. We don't know what's happened to him. And I said unto them, whosoever has any gold, let them break it off. And they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. He was making excuses for doing what he said, and then he flat out lied. It's not my fault. I didn't really do this sin. It was the woman she gave to me. It was your fault that I ate of the tree. Excuses. So, with these things in mind, how do we overcome lying? First of all, we must love the truth. There has to be the love of the truth. When we really understand this, what we really are saying here is that we have to have a change of heart. David spoke of truth in the inward parts. Let's go to Psalm 51. This is when he is repenting, asking for forgiveness after the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Psalm 51 in verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. You have to love the truth. We need to understand that a person is not a liar because he tells lies. He tells lies because he is a liar. Now, I've kidded myself about this. Well, a liar is really not a person who misrepresents the truth. It's somebody who habitually does it. Not what the Bible shows me if when I've gone through and I've studied this. If we misrepresent the truth, then we're lying. What we need is an inward change, a change in our heart to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, the second part of the verse, it says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Not receiving the love of the truth. We have to have the love of the truth. That's where it starts. A second thing is we need to learn the truth. We have to have a love for the truth, and we also have to learn the truth, know what the truth really is. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, we have to flood our mind with good things. Good things meaning like the Word of God. John 8 and verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth that's going to do that, not lies. John 8, 32. When we really understand it, this is exactly what Jesus Christ used when he was led into the wilderness for the purpose of being tempted by the devil. He flooded his human mind, and I'm using that with intent, his human mind with the Word of God. It was absolutely saturated with the Word of God. When the devil came at Jesus, what did he do? He answered him with Scripture. His mind was saturated with the Word of God. He had a love for the truth, and he learned the truth. And I know we could come back and say, well, yeah, but he was also the being that was back over here in the New Testament, was written, that inspired them to write it down. He was a human being, and he saturated his mind with the Word of God. So can we. And the third point is we need to live the truth. We need to love it, we need to learn it, and we need to live it. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting aside lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Put lying aside and speak the truth with everyone. So how do we overcome lying? We love the truth, we learn the truth, and we live the truth. And I want to give you a couple more statements that I also want you to add to these, and things such as, we need to be accountable to other people. We need to be accountable to one another. And that leads me to the second one, and that is, we need to be open to others stopping us when we gossip or slander. And then when we find ourselves that we have done it, that we have lied, then immediately we need to confess that it was sin, that we did it. And then once we do that, then immediately we need to correct it. We need to stop it. We need to confess it. We need to correct it. We need to stop it from going any further. And then another point is immediately we commit ourselves to the truth, to loving the truth, to learning the truth, and living the truth. So, brother, here is the real point of the sermon. The last thing that I'm going to give you is sort of like I told you, all of this whole information to bring it down to this one thing. God says he hates lying. That's very plain. In so many different ways. God says he hates lying. So a question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we? Do we? And the ironic blessing? And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.